talking so loud. So it's been really cool to be here. Chris just mentioned about me being in Singapore recently. And when I was there, this is really cool. And if you ever go to Singapore, you must do this. But they said to me, that one place we want to take you. And I went there. I had my swimming trunks on. I had my flip-flops on. I went into this place. There's this huge bath. And I had to get into the bath. And there's all these hundreds of little fish that come along and like nibble the skin off your feet and off your legs. It's really cool. I can see you're all convinced by that. You're like, oh, that's disgusting. It's really, really tickly, yeah? And then they start to squirt between your toes. That's, yeah, that's lovely. Lovely. People are going, I have just had my tea. I did not want that. But no, it was really cool. I was really fine with it until like this businessman came in and he like rolled up his suit trousers and he got into the same bath as me and these fish were nibbling at his dead skin around his feet. And then he started to giggle, yeah? And I was like, I'm fine to be in a bath of fish, but I'm not fine to be in a bath with a giggling man. Do you know what I'm saying? Nobody wants that. So I had to get out. That was me. Time out. I lasted about 6 minutes, but, you know, it was cool. So, while I've been in Preston, I've not had that. Yeah? They've not, I've not really had any sort of kind of, like, weird experiences, except just meeting the wonderful Lancashire people, yeah? And you guys, one thing I love about you is when I have mentioned Yorkshire, immediately that gets a reaction. And I like that. I like the fact that you're keeping that tradition going, yeah? You're just like, yes, as soon as you mention, because I lived in Barnsley for a little while, and I just, someone else from Barnsley over there, is there? And they're openly confessing it. I'm amazed. Oh, Doncaster! Wow. Well, that is, what a great link. Because I was just about to tell you, I absolutely love stories. And everywhere I go, I ask people for their best story. And I was in Doncaster, and I asked this question. Has anybody got a great story? See me at the end. And this lady told me this story, and I think this is kind of cool. She said that she got invited to a fancy dress birthday party. So she dressed up as a pirate, right? And she said she really went for it, and her outfit was really convincing. And she looked fantastic. This is her telling me that. And she says, I really look like a pirate. Anyway, the taxi comes to pick her up, and the taxi driver, because taxi drivers, maybe there's a taxi driver here, most taxi drivers are a bit grumpy, aren't they, yeah? Is there any taxi drivers here? No, so we can really abuse them then. Taxi drivers, they're rubbish. And so this taxi driver turned up, and he was really like, you know, grumpy, and he'd seen it all before, and she came out in her pirate's outfit, and he was like, get in the taxi. And she gets in the taxi, and she says, just before we get to the party, do you mind stopping at the cash point machine, because I need to get some money. Okay. So he stops at the cash point machine, she gets out, she gets her money, she comes back, she jumps into the car sets off, and she's just 2 or 3 minutes along in the journey, when the driver says, so, did you get the nappies? Right? So she's thinking, what? So she looks in the mirror and realizes this is not her taxi driver. She's got into someone else's car. And she looks at the front and there's a little baby in the baby seat. And she looks, and this man goes, you're not my wife. And she's, you're not my taxi driver. And they have this little moment of, oh, he goes, my wife's gone to get nappies. And he says, and so the lady says, do you mind nipping me back to the, she goes, well, yeah, because I've got to get my wife. And so they turn round and they drive back. And this is the best bit for me, is the best bit is the car stops. She gets out of the car as a pirate and she gets, crosses the road to her taxi. And all you can see is this lady with a bunch of nappies just looking, seeing her husband's car, seeing a pirate getting out of the car. It's like one of those moments in life. Ah! And then I really love stories. And so if you've got a brilliant story, I'd love to hear it. I was in one place recently and they told me the story about their son, Zach. And Zach came running in from the toilet, screaming, ah! And the mum's, whoa, whoa, calming the little lad down. What's happened? What's happened? And Zach says, ah, I've dropped my toothbrush down the toilet. And the mum's like, oh, okay, let me show you what happens when this happens. Don't worry about it, calm down. Takes him by the hand, gets the toilet. She goes, now if this happens, what you do is you go in and you get the toothbrush. Come on. She takes it to the garbage can. She goes, we put it in the bin. So the little boy's watching all of this. And she's like, oh, okay. And then he looks a little bit kind of, he's thinking about something. And about 10 minutes later, he comes back with her toothbrush. Says, Mom, I think we should throw this one in the bin. I dropped it down the toilet 2 weeks ago. Oh, that's not good, is it? That's not good. That's... I like how people... Whoa! And then you have a second wave of... So yeah, if you've got a great story, but you know, please don't do what someone did to me. I was somewhere and they came up to me and they told me a story for 45 minutes about a rabbit, and the rabbit died, and that was the story. I gave nearly an hour of my life to a rabbit. It lived and then it died. If you've got a story like that, keep it to yourself, yeah? You tuck that away in your heart and don't bother me with it. So I did in Gloucester, a man told me a story for a long time. And then he got to the end, and this must have happened to you. When you're listening to a story, and I don't know what you do, but I sort of straight, I'm like, oh, and I listened to the whole story. He got to the end, and I didn't understand what, I didn't get it. So I did the charity fake laugh. You've got to do it. I mean, you've already done it for me tonight. And you do that. And then he went, oh, I missed a bit in the middle. And he says, oh, it didn't make sense. And then I felt, oh, I've just laughed. He knows that I've laughed and I didn't understand it. So it was a bit awkward. So I just ran off. So I might do that tonight. You might come and speak to me and I just run off. That's cool. So tonight, I wanted to chat to you about a few things. And I really love living in the UK. I live in Nottingham. And I really love living in the UK. And one of the things I love about the UK is the way people respond to things. Because I heard this recently about a man in Swansea. And I think we're going to maybe have the image shoot up there. And basically what happened is that this man fell down this hole. Now, what I love about this story, it happened in Swansea in Wales, is the story goes that he dropped his lighter down the hole, right? He dropped it down the hole, and he tried to go in after it, and he got completely stuck. What I really love about this is that the newspaper said that 100 people gathered round to laugh at him. And I really like that. I like the fact that in the UK, we're like, not to help him, not to give him a helping hand, but just to go, ah, you're down a hole, look at that. And how to get a crowd easy in Wales, just fall down a hole. And he was there for absolutely ages until somebody had to go and get the fire brigade, and the fire brigade came and cut him out. I mean, just look at him, you can just see that he looks like completely, his hands, he doesn't know. I mean, because he can't even have a fag, because he's dropped a lighter down the hole. So he's lost, he's just there. And you can imagine 100 people just standing looking at him. And you know, I think about these words, trapped. I think about, like, you know, wow, what about this? You know, this sense of being trapped. And I'm sure that everybody in this room knows the feeling of being trapped. Maybe you've never fallen down a manhole. Maybe, the way you're looking at me, maybe you have. Maybe all together as a big group you fell down a manhole. But, you know, the truth is that most of us probably have never had that experience, but a lot of us know what it is to feel trapped. A lot of us know what it is to kind of sense that there's no way out. that there's a sense in which things are closing in on us. You know, I was really interested to watch that video and to hear the young guy chatting about how he got into that kind of pattern in his life where he was trapped in this kind of alcohol. Now, maybe that's you tonight. You're sitting here and there are patterns in your life. There are things that have happened to you that mean that you are completely trapped. You can't get out. And there's an amazing part in the Bible in Psalm chapter 69. And this is what the Bible says. And these words really help us in today's culture. In Psalm 69, you know, the writer says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I have come into the deep waters and the floods engulf me. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail looking for my God. And those who hate me without reason. They outnumber the hairs of my head. Many are my enemies without cause. Those who seek to destroy me, I am forced to restore where I did not steal." And here's a man in the Bible who's just basically saying, I am completely and utterly trapped. I cannot escape. I feel like life's closed in on me. You know, earlier when I was praying about getting the chance to speak, I felt, wow. I thought, God, I feel that there might be people in this room, and that's exactly how they feel. We had a lady who came to speak at our church, and this lady had had lots of difficulties and many things had gone wrong for her. And she said these words that had a huge impact on me, and I wrote them down because things had gone absolutely devastating for her. A relative had done something really bad to her and had gotten into a situation where she was really trapped. Everything was going bad. Finances were terrible. Her family was breaking up. She felt trapped in her situation. And these are the words that she said. She says, "When you reach rock bottom, you realize there is a rock at the bottom, and his name is Jesus." When you reach rock bottom, you realize that there is a rock at the bottom, and his name is Jesus. You know, tonight, there may be only a few people, but I felt that there is some people. Of course, on the outside, you look fantastic. You look wonderful. Of course, tonight, you look like you've got it all together, and everyone is fine as you sit here. But I felt there was at least a few people, and that is what's been happening for you, is you feel that you've hit rock bottom. You feel like life is really closing in on you. Talking to someone recently with an eating disorder, felt like life was closing in on her, and she could see no way out. Maybe it's relationships for you. Maybe it's family or finances. Maybe you've got yourself into a habit. Something is closed in on you and you can't break it. And you're trying desperately to get out. And of course you say to yourself, I can break this. I can get out of this situation. There's no problems here. But you know, the more you try to get out, the harder you're finding it. Because you're trapped. You're caught in your inner trap. And you know what I heard from those words from that lady was that when you reach rock bottom, you realize that there is a rock at the bottom, and his name is Jesus. I don't know where you're sitting tonight, but if you feel hopeless, if you feel like life is at the point where you feel like giving up and you feel trapped, let me introduce you to one called Jesus who can help you and strengthen you and pull you out of any trap that you're in, pull you out of any enclosed space and situation that you have caught yourself in. I was reading something recently, and I know when as soon as I say this you're going to go, but I was reading recently about how the best way to catch a monkey. right? Now, that's not totally normal, I understand. But I was reading this because it really, like, I was reading this story and they were talking about the best way to catch a monkey. And what they were, like, saying was that, you know, they attached this coconut shell to a tree. Some of you have probably heard it before. And they make a hole in the coconut shell and they put, like, a nut inside the coconut shell. And then what happens is that the monkey comes along and the monkey sees the nut and thinks, wow. And the hole is small enough for the monkey to get its, is it a paw or a hand? Is it a paw or a hand? It's a paw. Shall we say paw? It is a paw. Who thinks it's a paw? Put your hand up. Not many. Who thinks it's a hand? Put your, let's call it a hand. So the monkey, paw? What am I talking about? So the monkey puts his hand into the coconut shell and it can get his hand in, and of course the monkey grabs the nut, yeah? But of course monkeys are famously stupid, aren't they? And once the monkey's got his hand on the nut, it's holding on to it so tightly, and then of course it tries to pull its hand out the hole, but the hole's small enough to get a flat hand in, yeah, but too small to get a hand that's got a nut, a fist out. And so this monkey's like, and it can't get out. And because monkeys are not the most intelligent animals in the world, they stay there with the nut. Keep the nut, hold the nut. The nut must stay in my hand. And the people just come along and go, okay, monkey, you're caught. And because if the monkey had let him go, it could have run off. But it's holding on to the nut. And I was like kind of thinking about this. And I was thinking, wow, you know, has the monkey got the nut or has the nut got the monkey? And it's like, you know, kind of, ooh. And it's like in our life there are some things that come along that have got hold of us. They've got hold of us. And you know, we feel and we could say that we could let it go at any point. And you've told people, oh, I could give this up. But we never do. Because it's got hold of us. It's got a grip of us. I felt really challenged to say tonight to somebody in the room that it's unforgiveness has got a hold of you. And that you're trapped. That you feel angry towards someone. You feel bitter towards someone. Someone once said that bitterness is the poison that we drink and expect the other guy to die. Poison kills us. Bitterness kills us. It makes us, and there's one or two people in this room and you are trapped today in unforgiveness. You cannot let it go. And people have told you. I got into a situation with a guy about 10 months ago. And my wife kept on saying the same words to me. Mark, you've got to let it go. Mark, you've got to let it go. And I was exactly like the monkey. I was like, I've let it go. And I remember once in the car, I was talking about it. And Tamsin said in the car, Mark, you have got to let that go. And I remember in the car, turning to her and going, I've let it go. And she goes, oh yeah, you have, haven't you? Oh, it's never great to have your wife teach you the ways of the Lord, is it? See what I'm saying? Far better the vicar does that, not your wife. And it's like, you know, sometimes things get a grip of us and they get a hold of us and we can't let them go. I don't know what it is for you today. Is it unforgiveness? Is it a pattern? Is it a habit? Maybe there's someone here today and a habit has got hold of you. You want to stop looking at certain things. You want to stop certain things happening in your life, but you keep on ending up there and you just cannot break free. And I wanted to kind of say to you that the whole reason this wonderful, incredible message that we come to with you today is that Jesus, he is the one that can truly set us free. You know, the story about the man in the manhole is that
Nobody else could get him out of the hole, but they had to get the specialist to come and cut the hole and get the man free. And you know, the only way that we can find freedom is through Jesus. He's made the way possible. It's for freedom that Christ, that's why he came. He died on the cross so that we could be set free and that we could live a life of freedom. No longer these feelings of being trapped. Nor only did I want to talk about being trapped, but I also wanted to talk about being tangled. I wanted to talk about being tangled. Hey, I wanted to just mention something to you. A lot of you were at the Charter Theatre. Can you just raise your hands if you came to see Tale of Three Journeys at the Charter Theatre? Just put your hand up so I can see. Wow, quite a lot of people. That's fantastic. And you've come back for some more. That is great. And just really exciting to tell you that I'm so really, really chuffed about this. But a film company have come to us. And they loved the show so much that they've put it on a DVD. And wow, just last month, the DVD is of such excellence that it's won an award. And I had to go down to London and receive an award of Baroness Cox because it's been so well received. And this is it. Well, thank you. No, honestly, a little bit more. Thank you. Sorry, that was a joke. I like that in Britain, though, because if someone asks for applause, you're like, oh, forget it, mate. That's it, you've gone too far. But you know, we're really excited about this, and I just quickly tell you about it for two reasons. One, to pray, because, you know, it's of such quality that people have been buying it and giving it away to their friends. It lasts for 77 minutes, the show lasts, and then there's all these added extras and bonus features, and, you know, I tell my favourite Scottish joke and all that great stuff. But you know, it's all for one reason, and that is to get the message that we're communicating tonight. You know, people say, you use a lot of comedy, you use a lot of funny stories. Why do you do that? And this is why I do it, because I want the message. You know, if you like sort of give them a DVD to people and say, you know, it's an evangelist, people are just going to go, whoosh, yeah. But if you say to them, oh, it's like sort of funny stories and it'll make you smile, it'll make you think. And maybe people just have a little look at it and then they can hear this wonderful message that's transformed our lives. So if you want to get hold of one at the back, you can get hold of them. They're £12 each. Or if you want to get two, you can get them for £20. And I just wanted to share that with you because you guys were there at the early days when I was still getting the show together. And you laughed and encouraged me. So I wanted to talk about trapped. I wanted to talk about tangled. Tangled. Does anybody here remember in the swimming pool when you were doing your life-saving badge? Can anybody remember doing the life-saving badge? Can you remember that amazing week when you were a little kid and you were allowed to go in the swimming pool with your pajamas on? Can you remember that? Wow! Wasn't that fantastic? You're like, whoa! You mean the clothes I go to bed in, I can go in the swimming pool in? Like, yeah! Do you mean I can bring my bed into the swimming pool? No, that's too far. And it's like, I remember it, the life-saving badge. And they threw a brick into the water and you had to dive in and pick up the brick. And I can remember all of the class that I was in, all really good swimmers. And we all brought, like, you know, kind of like wonderful, fantastic pajamas. And we dived into the pool and we had to swim. And, you know, we all thought we were amazing swimmers. But as soon as those clothes, those pajamas got wet, they got really heavy. And they started to weigh us down. And, you know, talk about tangled. You see, I don't know where you are tonight. I don't know if maybe you're like a guest tonight and this is all new to you, but you know, there's an amazing verse in the Bible in Hebrews, and it just talks about how it says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles,
and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You see, a lot of people get kind of messed up with this idea of sin. You know, are you going to come and talk to us about us being sinners? You know, when I've got a Scottish accent, and when you say sin in a Scottish accent, it sounds even more sin. Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's like, whoa, take a chill pill. It's like, you know, it comes over, it's really judgmental. But you know, what I read in the Bible is simply this, is that Jesus tells us that we have to throw off the things that hold us back. You see, it's like that, those pajamas, as little lads, we're all swimming and we're getting weighed down by this extra clothes. And that's what is happening when we talk about sin. That is exactly what it is. It's like the things that are in our life that weigh us down and hold us back from connecting with God. I'm not saying that anybody in this room is a mass murderer or, you know, you're a terrible, evil person. You're probably a nicer person than me. Yeah, thanks for nodding. And the truth is that the Bible says that all of us have done wrong. We've all messed up. You see, this thing called sin, it's the stuff that stops us from connecting with God. It weighs us down. God wants us to connect with Him. You're sitting here tonight, and God is desperate to connect with your heart. He wants to make such a wonderful connection. And yet, so many of us, we've got stuff in our life that weighs us down, holds us back. I know for me, it's like, I've got things that just stop me from reaching God. But the Bible says, let us throw off. And as a kid, we're swimming in our pajamas. We're weighed down. We're not able to make it. And the teacher says, okay, kids, you can take off. We were ripping our shirts off, ripping our pajama bottoms off. Wow! And the freedom that you suddenly felt to be able to swim in your shorts. And it was like, wow! And you know, that is like what being a Christian is like. It's like we're able to take off this stuff that weighs us down. The things that hold us back from connecting with God. And tonight you're here and, you know, maybe you're feeling, yeah, do you know what, I'm distant from God. You know, tonight I understand that the stuff about my life that is weighing me down. It's like that pajamas. It's like that clothing, that extra clothing. And tonight at the end of this talk, we're going to give us an opportunity to pray a prayer, to say to God, God, please, I want to rip off everything that stops me from connecting with you. I want to be free. I don't want to be trapped. I don't want to be tangled, but I want to be free to run into your arms, to run into the arms of God. Wow. Isn't that a wonderful message? It's not making you think, I don't want to be weighed down anymore. I want to be free to reach and touch God. And also, do you remember when you did your life-saving badge? When they asked you to tread water. Do you remember that? I hated that. You know, you're in the pool and your feet are and you're not going anywhere. Do you remember that? There's something wrong with that, yeah? You're putting a lot of energy and a lot of effort in and you're not moving. And, you know, I think there's one person, maybe two people, and that's how you feel in life right now. You are just pouring your energy and your time and your effort into life, but you feel weary. You feel like you're not getting where you need to go. You feel like, you're putting all this strength and energy and time, you're doing it, but today you feel tired. And Jesus says, come unto me, all those who are weary, and I will give you rest. He understands tonight that you're sitting there, you're putting a shift in, you're working hard, you're doing your best, and you don't feel like you're getting where you need to get to. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. When I was a little kid at school, I know you're not going to believe this because you look at me now and I look strong and I look tall. But when I was a little kid at school, I was a bit of a wimp, yeah? And when I was a little kid at school, I had really massive lips, yeah? I mean, you're looking at my lips now and you're thinking, they look okay. But my lips have been this size since I was a baby, yeah? And my body's grown into my lips. And so when I was at school, I used to get called rubber lips, yeah? And then I also was called Bleebo. I don't know what that was about. And then somebody at school would say, oh, junior school can be so harsh. And the lad that says, oh, listen, do you know Mark Ritchie? When his mum takes him shopping, she licks his lips and sticks them to the shop window. Ha, 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 ha. Still hurts. And thanks for laughing. And so, you know, I was like, I sometimes get bullied. I was a bit of a wimpy kid. And there was one day, when I decided, no, that's it, I've had enough. And I remember this little kid who was about the same size as me, and he came over to me, and not only did I have rubber lips, but my mum also used to send me to school in a cagoule. Do you remember cagoules, yeah? So you can imagine in junior school, I would have my cagoule on and my massive lips, and going up to the girls and saying, I love you. And they say, I would rather die. And it didn't go well for me. And this little lad came up about the same age and he kind of pushed me. And I looked at him, I thought, he's about the same size as me. I thought, this is it. For once in my life, I'm not going to take it anymore. And I looked around and I went, boom, and I smacked him on the head. This little guy, oh, I felt quite good. And then this little kid says, I'm going to get my big brother onto you. And I can remember like, yeah, whatever, yeah, bring it on, like you have a big brother. About 5 minutes later, there was a lad who looked extremely like this lad. In fact, looked a lot like his older brother. And I just saw this little kid pointing, and this older brother had two friends, and they were pointing over at me. And suddenly I realized, oh man, I'm going to get such a beating. And I just thought, oh, do you know what? I have got to get home. And I lived about 5 minutes from home. I just shot out the front door. I ran for it. I ran for home. And these lads started chasing after me. I was running as fast as I could. They were catching up with me. I saw the corner, and I just knew that if I could get to the corner, I would be fine. Because I thought, I'll see my front door. And I was going for the corner, but this big lad came, and he just put his hand out just as I was getting to the corner. But praise the Lord, my mother had put a cagoule on my back, so I was able to do this shimmy, the cagoule dance, yeah? And I was in, oh, slippy coat, and I got round the corner, and in the garden, never before had he done this, never before had he done this, but my dad was in the front garden, and I just saw him, and I was like, Dad, I love you! And you know, my dad was like, oh, my son's come home just to tell me that he loves me. And I ran to him. And then I got behind him, I hugged him. And I was like standing behind him when these three lads came flying round the corner. And they did that cartoon, stop. And they looked. And you know, I'm not proud of what I did next. It wasn't a good and clever thing to do. But as I stood behind my dad, I went, and the thing is that I ran into the arms of the Father. And you know, this is the truth tonight, friend. The truth is that we talk about not being tangled up with the things that hold us back. You know, sin's not this big kind of thing that's just a judgmental thing. It's a thing that's all the stuff in our life that holds us back from running into God's arms. It's a thing that stops us from running into connecting with God. If you forget all my other nonsense, please know this, that God's longing for you to run into his arms tonight. He's longing for you to connect with him. And when we connect with the Father, we can feel strong and safe in the arms of the Father. We can overcome any habits, any struggle, any problem, because we connect with God. So I'm coming towards an end, but I talked about trapped. I talk about tangled. And lastly, I wanted to talk about thriving. Thriving. You see, the deal is, I went to Africa with my wife a few years ago, and we had an amazing time. And we had a driver called John. And John was this great big African Kenyan driver. We loved him. And the one thing about John that was amazing was that he laughed exactly like the cartoons. You know, cartoons go ha 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 ha, he he. Yeah? Well, he laughed exactly like that. And I loved that. I thought, wow, ha ha ha, he he. And John said one day around the fire, John said, hey, who wants to go out for firewood? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go. I want to go. So I got in this truck with John, and we went out looking for firewood. And I was a bit naughty, and I said to John, come on, John. Let's see what this truck can do. Come on. Let's give it some welly. And John, you know, oh, you Scottish, he said. Ha, ha, ha. He, he. And he started throwing this truck around, and we got off road, and we really started to give it some will, and we were getting some amazing speeds, and it was so much fun, and we were laughing together, and he's really got this truck moving. And then after a few minutes, he says, listen, we need to get the firewood. So I thought we were going to get some wood, and we were going to put it in a few bags, but you know, that's not how it happens out there. What he did was, we stopped by this big dead tree, and we got a big chain. And we tied a chain around this dead tree. And we dragged this dead tree back to the camp. And as we were going back, no longer could the truck make all this amazing speed, because it's been pulled back and held back. And you know, no matter how much I said to John, come on, the truck was pulling this huge weight behind it. And you know, as I come towards an end, we talk about thriving. About God wanting you to live your life the way he created it to be. And yet, you know, we have things that hold us back. Some of us tonight, God's looking for you to hit the speeds. He wants you to be everything he created you to be. And yet, you're pulling this weight behind you. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's guilt. I don't know what it is for you tonight, but it's holding you back from being everything you were created to be. Imagine tonight if I finished and said, do you know what? I've got his all a gift in the car park. As you go tonight, enjoy your cup of tea, but in the car park there's a gift for you. There's a Ferrari for everyone. A Porsche. Yeah? I hate the fact that Scots are called tight. So I bought you all a Ferrari, yeah? Imagine. You keep using the word imagine there, right? Just keep that in the front of your mind. A bit nervous that some of you are just getting ready to go and check it out. Imagine if I did have a Ferrari or a Porsche there for you, this sparkling sports car, wonderful red car, and it can do 180, 190 miles an hour. Wow! But then I tell you, you're going to have to take this caravan everywhere you go. And one of those big trailer caravans, yeah? The ones that you get stuck behind and you give up your Christian faith and you say things. You say things that you should be ashamed of. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. And you know, imagine pulling that caravan behind you. This car designed for speed. This car designed to do all these wonderful, wonderful things. And yet, it's been held back by this stupid big caravan. And you know what? As I finish and come towards an end, so many people need to understand that God has created you for great things. God made you for wonderful, wonderful things. He has plans to prosper you. God thinks that you are amazing. God thinks that you are wonderful, and he designed you for incredible things. And yet some of us, we have got this caravan, this weight of stuff that pulls us back.
things that hold us back from being everything God made us to be. And I felt tonight that there's a moment, an opportunity, where we can allow Jesus to come in and to just cut that off. To cut off the things that have held you back for so long, so that you can speed off and be what you were designed to be. God's dream, his imagination for your life, that you would be incredible, that you would be wonderful, you'd be fantastic, doing all these incredible things, no longer being held back by the weight and the heaviness of some of this stuff that stops us from being everything God designed us to be. God created you to thrive. Even tonight, if this is your first time in church, or just the first or second time, he created you to thrive, to live and be everything that he designed for you. He doesn't want to see you dragging along the slow lane with all this weight behind you. And so what we want to do tonight is simply this, is I really sense that God's here. And then I really feel that, you know, there are people here tonight and you've understood the words that I've said. And I'm going to simply do this in a couple of moments. I'm going to ask us to pray a prayer. I'm going to say tonight, if you understood this, I want you to pray this prayer in your heart. And we're going to bow our heads. And I'm going to say, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And I want to pray just from the front that you tonight would make that decision that, boom, no longer trapped, no longer tangled, but everything that's held you back, everything that stopped you from being what you were created to be would be, boom, cut off. And you would move into all that God's designed you to be. That, you know, he doesn't want you to be bogged down by anything. And so tonight, I'm going to pray the prayer and I'm going to say, if you prayed that prayer, I'm going to ask you to stand. And then I'm going to pray a prayer and then I'm going to ask you to sit back down again so that you tonight know that you've prayed that prayer and nothing's held you back. Nothing has stopped you from being what God created you to be. I wonder if we could just bow our heads and close our eyes. Just sense right from the beginning of tonight that God is here. And just realize that there's all kinds of people in this room tonight. People that have come to church a long time. People that have maybe only been a few times. And I sense so much that God, he just wants you no longer to be trapped, no longer to be tangled, but to be everything that he designed you to be. And as we are just quietly in God's presence and just wanted to give us a moment just to do some time with God. As you sit in God's presence, I just want you tonight just to understand that he loves you and he's for you and he thinks you're amazing. And tonight he wants you to pray this prayer because he wants to connect with you. He wants to you to run into his arms tonight. He wants you to cut off all the stuff that's holding